This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Give it to Turner. Going to the right side at the five. Michael Turner just had it.
Who to start, who to sit, who's a sleeper, and who's a bust. A weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Back to throw, look, fires over the middle, caught, left, right, the touchdown, welcome.
And from all around the NFL.
It's Derek Lynch, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Ask your fantasy questions, hear from the experts, and let us be your weekly cheat sheet. Now, here's our resident fantasy geek. Guru Brian Lowe.
Good afternoon and welcome into the Fantasy Lowdown. Week 14 of the NFL slate kicking off in 4 hours or so. Oddly enough, the clock in this office, I'm just noticing, is 1 hour behind. How the heck did that happen, Jason? Who's messing with the clock?
Battery might be dying.
Dying by exactly an hour? Odd. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there. It's odd. I've been getting used to...
The real clock on my board is accurate, and that's on the
matter. It's 4:04, not 3:04, correct?
I have 4:07.
Oh, well, it's 3:04 and a half.
4:07 and 44 seconds.
All right, all right. Either way, I'm pretty certain Steelers-Browns is in about 4 hours, and definitely some interesting and pertinent topics to get to on that game as you set your lineup for that, but then a full slate of games on Sunday. And, hey, I know this. I'm in the same boat here. A lot of people are angling for playoff spots, angling for fantasy playoff spots. Some leagues are already in the playoffs. You might have a fantasy playoff season that begins in week 14, or you have a bye week, or you know you're in the mix for a playoff spot. So we're going to help you out here today, trying to get your lineup set for this critical fantasy week. You know, some people are like Jason, been eliminated for weeks, and that's fine too. You're still playing for pride. For me, you know, I'm in a few leagues, and I got to be honest here. I might be your fantasy geek. Guru. I'm not having a great year fantasy-wise. In three leagues, one of them already been eliminated from the playoffs. The other two, I've got a chance. Now, in the B-Low League, which a lot of our listeners are involved in and certainly follow, Jason and I are in. Jason's in last place. He's clinched 12th place. As for me, I'm in 8th place, but it's not as bad as it sounds. Not as bad as it sounds. It's bad, but I still am alive for a top 4 seed. I have 4 games that I'm watching this week, my own personally, where I'm playing another contender for that last spot and obviously need a win. And then I have 3 other games where I need a loss by one specific team. So a lot of scoreboard watching for me this week. Now, I narrowly lost this past week to the number one team in our league, James in Wales. And part of my actual modicum of success in this week had to do with Robert Meacham, who almost got me a full win. And we got a lot of intriguing talk about Robert Meacham to get to because he had an interesting touchdown that last week that sort of caused a bit of some intrigue in fantasy football circles. But going into the Monday night game, I think I was still – I had Green Bay and needed quite a performance from Green Bay's defense, and I got 12. Not enough, but I got it. But Robert Meacham, 26 points, and Marcus Colston, another 10. So the Robert Meacham situation is one that we're going to touch on today. And I had some pretty good performances. Matt Hasselbeck giving me 20 points, which wasn't bad, and JerMichael Finley exploding, relatively speaking, with 19 points. Choking here a bit.
You need me to stand in?
Yeah, John, I do.
All right. Well, we'll give him a second here so he can actually clear his throat. What did you do? Did you just like breathe?
The eyes
on?
Watering, and I have some water in front of me, but sometimes it's just not enough.
Hang in there. All right, one more. That's a clear the palate cough.
That might get it done.
All right, there you go.
Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com is going to join us later on. And when he actually talks, when he answers the questions that I have for him, I'll have a chance to, you know, cough, take some water. Hey, John, you go through this all the time going solo. I just can't handle it like you do.
Breathe slowly.
I just can't handle it like you do, John. I try. Try as I might.
Well, it's all right. You're doing a more than adequate job. I think it's all understood that it comes with the territory.
It's a good thing you're sticking around today for an event later on.
Yeah, well, it's the opening of the skating rink here at Patriot Place.
Right.
You know, got to be out there.
Otherwise, you would have been, you know, you and rightfully so, you would have been long gone.
I try to do what I can here.
Wouldn't have been able to help me out here. But
I'm just going
to,
you know, take one for the team.
There you go. Well, yeah. I appreciate that. Web radio at patriots.com is our email address, as it is each and every week. And we want to hear from you. We've got a whole bunch of emails here that we're going to try to get to before we get to Joe Dolan. And then while he's on, actually, maybe we'll ask him a few of the questions. 508-543-7482 is the phone number, also an adequate way to get in touch with us. As we get to the emails right off the bat here, Steve in Sydney says, "Hi, B-Lo and Doc. Thanks for the show this year, guys. I've enjoyed listening to the podcast each week, and your advice has helped me make the playoffs in my other league this season. I'm hoping I can hang on to at least the fourth spot in B-Lo's league, but I'm not confident about this week's matchup against Kent Kamikaze." So we've got, you know, as I mentioned, several of our of the players in our league listen to the show and send in emails looking for some advice. And, of course, Steve in Sydney is Steve Spanners and Kent Kamikaze. They are both in the mix for playoff spots, and I actually need Kent Kamikaze to win this week, but that won't cloud my perspective here as I give Steve some objective, unbiased help here. I'm thinking of starting Beanie Wells over Mike Bell this week, but can't make up my mind. Neither of them has set the world on fire over the last few weeks. What do you think? It's looking more and more like you're going to want to start Beanie Wells, Steve, even though the matchup against San Francisco isn't that great. Mike Bell with New Orleans facing Atlanta, but he was held out of practice on Thursday, has a knee injury. It's not for certain yet that he's going to be out, but, you know, he is the backup anyways to Pierre Thomas. Reggie Bush gets some time as well. So Mike Bell, even though he's had some, you know, double-digit carries each of the last 3 weeks, 13, 13, and 16, and he's been relatively productive. I mean, getting decent yardage, not a ton of touchdowns. It seems as though you're not going to want to have to use Mike Bell this week. Now, Beanie Wells has had two very disappointing weeks and plays San Francisco a pretty good run defense. But honestly, and I don't think too highly of Beanie Wells for this week, but if it does come down to Beanie Wells or Mike Bell this week, Steve, I think as of right now, you're going to want to go with Beanie Wells. Not a great matchup, but that's the way it looks right now. Okay, this really is one of our better emails, and it has to do with lunch as well. Cormac from Ireland, and the PFW guys, I'm sure, got to this as well. "Hey, Brian, hope you're well. Well, today's email has a slightly different twist." Yeah, you're telling me. "I just wanted to make sure that my lunch order for the PFW boys also made its way to you." It did. Very gracious of you, Cormac. Thank you. "You see, today I'm getting married and wanted to let you guys..." Thank you, thank you. "Today I'm getting married and wanted to let you guys share in the wedding meal experience, if you will. So as you're doing your show, you can imagine us chowing down on wedding cake or dancing merrily to the Macarena." How impressive is this? Cormac from Ireland, today is his wedding day. So first of all, a hearty congratulations to you, Cormac, from myself, everyone here at Patriots.com Radio. Congratulations. On your wedding day, taking some time out to A, buy us schlubs here lunch while you do the Macarena, and send an email for some fantasy advice. I don't know what your current wife, your wife thinks about all this, but we certainly
Philo,
appreciate
please
it.
Stop dancing.
Uh-oh, the cameras are on me, aren't they? Oh, boy. Cormac, you're one of our better emailers. Email us every week. Congratulations to you and the wife.
And now John Rook is in the mix, dancing the Macarena.
Oh, look at
also.
That. We're in separate ends of the room, though. We're not doing the Macarena together. We're not at that point yet. Anyways, Cormac, thank you for the chicken parm sub. Congratulations on your wedding. And let's get to your email, because that's really the fantasy football advice has to overshadow the wedding. I'm sorry. Has to. Especially if you're on the verge of the playoffs. All right. "Relatively straightforward this time. I've just picked up JerMichael Finley. My tight end position is the weakest on my team, as I originally had Chris Cooley, and when he got injured, all I grabbed was Dustin Keller. Do you think Finley is a better play for the rest of the season than Keller? Thanks, Brian, and hope you enjoyed the lunch." I certainly did. Give me Finley over Keller. Finley's ranked he's not ranked too high right now because he is banged up a little bit, but he's coming off a huge week. He had two touchdowns for the first time this season. He's definitely coming on strong. Dustin Keller, especially with the weak quarterback situation with the Jets, I think JerMichael Finley and Dustin Keller are sort of in the same general tier among tight ends, but Finley's the hot hand. Definitely has the better quarterback, and I picked him up in one of my leagues last week. Actually have him in two leagues, and I've been impressed with him. And barring any injury information that comes up between now and Sunday or any setbacks that he has, I like JerMichael Finley over Keller.
So should I do the B-Lo League a favor and reward anybody who is listening to us live right now? Should I drop Tom Brady?
Well, okay. Now we're getting into some ethic issues here. You've been out of the playoff contention for a long time. Nothing is riding on this. We're not a keeper league, as far as I know. So, are you doing that because that gives your team a better chance to win this week? Because you there's some pride on the line. You want to win, or are you just doing that just for the sake of shaking up the league?
Probably the latter.
Well, put it this way: if you do it, please wait till 5:01. I want in, and it's kind of hard for me to balance everything here. I want in. I need to make the playoffs, and, my quarterback is Matt Hasselbeck, and I have Matt Ryan on the bench. And for going into this week, as shaky as it's been, and right now, I mean, he hasn't practiced and all that, I still would rather have Tom Brady than Ryan or Hasselbeck.
I think ethically, though.
Ethically?
I should keep
it's
him.
A complete no. Unless you can try to make an argument that you're going to cut him and pick someone up who's going to be better for your team this week.
I have Eli Manning on my bench. You want him?
Not so much. It's an interesting question, Jason, and, ethics. The untold story of fantasy football.
It comes down to one decision I made all season long. If I didn't drop Marshawn Lynch, it could have been a different story.
If you didn't drop Marshawn Lynch, what did you drop him for?
When he was suspended.
No,
I had him coming out of the draft, and I just dropped him and have had no running back all season long.
Okay, I mean, I don't think he would have made the difference for you, though, so in fairness.
He would have.
The difference. Instead of 2-12, you'd be 3-11, right?
No, I would
have
been.
Nice try.
I think I would have been 500.
Nice try. Okay, more emails. Webradio@patriots.com. Paul in London. Hi, Brian and Jason. I'm away at Disneyland Paris for the rest of the week. What a week. I mean, we've got weddings. We've got Disneyland Paris trips among our emailers. Away at Disneyland for the rest of the week, so need to get my email in early this week for you to stash away for the show. And he did indeed send this email on Tuesday evening, so about 48 hours ago.
Hi, listeners. Here's an email from Brian in Foxborough. He says, you guys are all traveling and getting married. We're sitting here in snowy Foxborough. Thanks for saying hi. We'll talk to you soon.
Was Brian able to get to work on time?
Yes, Brian was at work on time.
Are you talking about me or are you talking about our other Brian?
You.
Okay. I didn't know if you were, reading an email from Brian,
No, I was you.
Hey, I'm fine. I had my trip to England this year. Not really vacation, but it was a lot of fun. Okay,
that's because you were a celebrity.
Hell yeah. Less questions this week as three of my five leagues have no shot at the playoffs, but I'm still playing for pride and to knock out a guy I don't like. Well, that's really what it's all about as well. I'm still alive if I can win in both the Paul Perillo League and the B-Low League, though I may need other results to go my way. Anyway, I'm sticking with what I've got this week. No new players. My team in Perillo's League, Aaron Rodgers at QB. Vincent Jackson, Percy Harvin at wide receiver, Matt Forte and Rock Cartwright at running back, Greg Olsen tight end, and then T.O. as a flex player and Devery Henderson as a flex. And on the bench, Steve Slayton, Austin Cauley, Felix Jones, Julius Jones, and Santana Moss. What changes should I make to that team? Well, obviously you can cut Steve Slayton. He's on IR now, unless you have a keeper league, which, that's a different story. You can cut Steve Slayton and look for some better depth, maybe a backup quarterback just in case Aaron Rodgers something happens to him, or maybe some more depth at tight end or elsewhere. The one move I would make there is put in Julius Jones instead of Rock Cartwright. Julius Jones going up against Houston, I think you're going to be fine there. I think you'd be better off with Julius Jones instead of Rock Cartwright. And one note also on Rock Cartwright, this is what Jim Zorn said about the Washington running back situation with Clinton Portis going on IR. Earlier Wednesday, it was reported that Redskins running back Ruck Cartwright said that Quentin Ganther would start at Oakland in Week 14, signaling the fourth starting running back for the Redskins this season. While head coach Jim Zorn admitted that Ganther would indeed start, it wasn't a guarantee of playing time. Rock's going to play, Zorn said of Cartwright. We'll decide at some point what's going to happen and what the rotation is going to be, but Ganther will take the first snap. Zorn said earlier in the week that Marcus Mason would also be involved, blah, blah, blah. So basically, here's the deal. Rock Cartwright, Quentin Ganther, I don't think either one of them are great picks for this week. I'd go Julius Jones instead of Cartwright there, Paul. Now a couple start and sit questions that Paul had. Cincy D against the Vikings or Redskins against the Raiders? You got to go Redskins. You know, fairly impressive what Bruce Gradkowski has been able to do, but not a stable running back situation, not really a stable offense at all. And Cincy's D has been pretty good, but against the Vikings, I don't like it. Go Redskins D. McNabb or Favre? And as Paul said, made the right decision 2 weeks in a row after 11 weeks of miserable failures. I go Favre. I go Favre in this case against Cincinnati. McNabb is going against the Giants. You know, I don't dislike McNabb this week, but I think it's a bounce-back week for Favre. Pick two of these running backs, Frank Gore, Jamal Charles, Kevin Smith, Rock Cartwright. Gore up against Zona's tough run defense. Yeah, that's true, but I think you got to stick with Gore. He's that good. And then I give Jamal Charles the edge over Kevin Smith. Smith has had some production, but Jamal Charles against Buffalo, pretty good. I'm still alive.
Do I need to jump in again?
I'm still alive. That's okay. All I can ask.
All right, just checking.
Hanging in there. Where's Jason? Jason running off. I think we're going to take a quick break here. Get back to some of the emails. Let me try to stay alive here, get the medics in, and go back strong with Joe Dolan coming up very soon from FantasyGuru.com.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, not tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
That's fair. That's fair. You know, sitting here choking to death and you're just making fun of it. That's fair.
What are you going to do? The same thing to me.
Of course I would. It's sitting here doing some solo radio and with the leading expert of Patriots.com solo radio, it's hard for me to compose myself. I mean, I'm in awe.
You're just cracking under the pressure of having John Ruck in the room.
That's what I'm saying. Right back to the emails and pick up where I left off with Paul. His pick two out of the following four running backs, Frank Gore, Jamal Charles, Kevin Smith, and Mark Cartwright. I'm going with Gore and Charles. Jamal Charles against Buffalo's 32nd ranked run defense. And even though Kevin Smith has had decent production at times this year, just can't really rely on that offense, going to the backup quarterback, Dante Culpepper. And I said earlier what I think about Brock Cartwright, not really reliable this week. Then pick two out of the following four wide receivers: Malcolm Floyd, Jason Avant, Braylon Edwards, or DeSean Jackson. And there's definitely talk that DeSean Jackson is on the right track. Eagles special teams coach said that Jackson will return punts on Sunday night, and it seems like the Eagles are proceeding as if Jackson is 100%. And the advice is, go with him as if there was no concussion issues at all. So I think Braylon Edwards is an interesting pick because of Tampa Bay, but still not really reliable because of Kellen Clemens. And I think between Malcolm Floyd and Jason Revant, two guys who I've been high on these last couple weeks, I think are very intriguing. And I guess I probably would give the edge slightly to Malcolm Floyd against Dallas. That's where I'd go. So I'd probably go DeSean Jackson and Malcolm Floyd. Hard to go DeSean Jackson and Jason Avant. You're kind of putting all your eggs in that Philadelphia basket on the road in a tough divisional matchup. So I do like DeSean Jackson, though. And then finally, Paul asks, how are you doing your picks league? I'm 141 and 51 without the spread, 118 and 73 with the spread. I'm now in second place in the PFW picks league, 129 and 62. I was in first place, had a poor week, 9-6 this past week. Paul Perillo is ahead of me in that league. Thank you very much, Paul in London. Want to get to a topic that I brought up earlier with Robert Meacham, and I'm sure you all know by now the play in the New Orleans-Washington game last week. Drew Brees throws an interception to, what was his name, Kevin Moore? Kareem Moore, I'm sorry, Kareem Moore of Washington, who fumbles, and caused by Robert Meacham. Robert Meacham runs in for a touchdown. And the question is, you know, who gets credit for that? Well, Tristan Cockcroft on ESPN.com wrote about that this week. Robert Meacham was a one-man wrecking crew Sunday, finishing as the team's leader in targets with 10, receptions with 8, and receiving yards with 142. What's more, Meacham will soon sit comfortably atop his position in fantasy points for the week with 26 thanks to 2 touchdowns. That's right. While Meacham hauled in 1 receiving touchdown, a key in the Saints' late-game rally, he also made a critical play earlier in the contest, stripping Redskins defensive back Kareem Moore of the football immediately after Moore had picked off Drew Brees. Meacham then returned the fumble for a game-tying touchdown at the end of the first half. Fantasy owners who might have been under the assumption Meacham would get credit for only the receiving score will be pleasantly surprised to learn he'll also be credited for the fumble recovery touchdown. The real story here is Meacham's swift ascent from little-used number 4 receiver to one of the top targets in arguably the game's most potent offense. Even before this week, he had become more of a red zone option with 4 targets in those situations from weeks 9 to 12. As such, he was one of the hottest pickups in fantasy football. Expect his ownership at 47.2% of ESPN leagues entering the week to soar after this performance. Meacham got another look in the red zone, but he also got 9 more looks at other points on the field. So Robert Meacham, I'm wondering if anyone had any thoughts as that play was going on, wondering how that impacted your fantasy team, because certainly it was a compelling play. You know, does New Orleans defense get credit for it? Well, how can that be? I mean, Robert Meacham's not on defense. He's never played defense. How could that play be a defensive touchdown? I think it was probably handled well. It's not like Drew Brees gets credit for it. He gets credit for an interception. Robert Meacham, though, getting credit for that touchdown. I have him in one of my leagues, the one we talk about here, B-Lowe's league, 26 points. Unfortunately, still wasn't good enough for me to get a victory this past week. We'll be getting to Joe Dolan in just a few minutes, but speaking of Robert Meacham, I've got an email here from someone who was a guest of ours a couple weeks ago, Thanksgiving week, Chris, who works here with the Patriots, and sent in an email with some thoughts. You know, he's got one among the questions he has is Robert Meacham. Robert Meacham is available. He, of course, had a monster week last week, but has been playing well overall. He's projected at 15.5 points for Sunday. I have Larry Fitzgerald and Percy Harvin. Do I try for Meacham and sit Harvin, who goes against Cincy? Chris is listening for the answer. Well, I'll tell you what, Chris. Obviously, you go with Larry Fitzgerald. Percy Harvin, first of all, it's odd that Robert Meacham would still be available in your league, and I'd say anyone would be smart to pick him up. But, you know, Percy Harvin is the hot hand, and I kind of feel as though you could get a good a week out of Percy Harvin this week. And with Meek, if you benched Percy Harvin, who's gotten you to where you're at on on the verge of the playoffs, and you sit him all of a sudden, and he has a huge week, you'll probably be upset, especially if Robert Meacham doesn't come through for you. I'd pick him up right now if I could. See if Percy Harvin, who also has an injury issue, see where that's going as the week goes on. But as of right now, you know, I would probably go Fitzgerald and Harvin, but Meacham has certainly been a hot hand in one of the top offenses in the league. We've got more to get to with Chris in just a bit. Webradio at Patriots.com is our email address. Lots more to get to, but for right now, we're going to go to the phone line. And a gentleman who's joined us a couple times already this year, Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com. Joe, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Brian. How are you?
Good. Very good. And good to talk to you again as we're hitting the home stretch here of the fantasy season, which, of course, you know, you never want to see the football season end, but lots of intrigue still to go. People trying to get into the playoffs, trying to set their playoff lineup. And how are your fantasy teams doing?
Well, you know what, Brian? I've got a couple moving on, and I've just got a couple that I fell out of it a little bit early, and I'm doing so much in terms of fantasy and getting the site updated that sometimes you just it's kind of weird that it's my job, but sometimes I actually don't have time to update my own team.
Your own team falls by the wayside a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, I don't do fantasy for a living. I've got a few teams, but I'm not having a good year, Joe.
You know what? It's been a rough year in a lot of respects, and if you missed out on some of the guys on the waiver wire who came along, like Sims Walker and Miles Austin and guys like that, you ended up having a rough year because a lot of big players really didn't come through, especially at the running back position.
Absolutely. Lots of comings and goings and running back situations where you just don't know week to week what teams are going to do. And it makes it interesting, makes it fun, makes it entertaining. Well, we've got, as always here, our show comes on a Thursday, and we've got a Thursday night game that, to me, just to get it rolling here with chatting with you, there's some intriguing situations going on. It looks like Hines Ward will be playing tonight, which is interesting. You've got Ben Roethlisberger, who's had his issues recently. You've got a Cleveland team that obviously is terrible, but, you know, between Brady Quinn, Jerome Harrison, even Mohamed Massacoy, who scored last week, I think there are a few possibly intriguing guys. As you look at this matchup tonight, any insight you can give our listeners on what to look for tonight?
You know what? I'm given what the weather situation is supposed to be, I'm thinking it's Mendenhall all the way, the entire game. He's the guy we're watching to really kind of take control of this game in a game the Steelers essentially have to win. Now, people tend to think that throwing the ball in the snow is a very difficult thing to do. But really, that's not the problem. I think, especially with the Patriots, you know that the ball can be thrown in the snow, and it can be thrown for a lot of production. The issue tonight will be the wind that is predicted. There's supposed to be 30-mile-an-hour winds with some gusts of a little bit more than that. But the reason that it's actually sometimes what snow is conducive to throwing the football is because defenders slip and slide, don't have a lot of traction, can't change direction all that well. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Steelers or the Browns think they can handle the conditions, that they might come out throwing the ball and try to take the defense by surprise. But I think to be safe, I think Mendenhall is the number one guy I'm looking for here. I don't really feel great about anyone else out there, except maybe Heath Miller. I think Heath Miller has the chance to have a pretty decent game, especially if the Steelers decide to throw the ball a little bit and decide with some shorter throws to start out just to get on a roll there.
So Roethlisberger, Hines Ward, might be safer to stay away.
Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't exactly say stay away because Cleveland really has a hideous defense.
Yeah. Yep.
They're really bad. They're really banged up in the secondary. But now Sean Rogers is out. That's huge for Mendenhall. There's nobody you have to double-team on that line. I just tend to think this is going to be a game controlled on the ground. Now, it seems like every time I say that, somebody comes out and they just start firing the ball down the field. And while that's possible, I'm probably going to hedge my bets. If the weather conditions were good, I'd be all for the Steelers' passing offense. But if I have some tough decisions to make and Santonio Holmes or Hines Ward are involved, especially Hines Ward given the injury, if I have some tough decisions to make with those guys involved, I might go with the other guy just to be safe.
Exactly. That's a probably safe bet. And, of course, when there's a Thursday night game, got to make those decisions pretty quickly.
Right.
A couple of running backs going on injury reserve this week. Clinton Portis in Washington, although he'd been out for a little while. Steve Slayton in Houston. And it sort of leaves some jumbled, a couple of jumbled messes there on who really is going to get the carries in these situations. Washington with Quentin Ganther now sort of emerging, Rock Cartwright, and then Houston with Chris Brown, Ryan Motes. Any insight you can give on those two situations, and if guys are available on the waiver wire among those four, who would be the best bet?
Yeah, it's actually a really interesting question because now Washington has decided they're going to go with Quentin Ganther as their starting running back. He's going to start. I tend to think he's still going to split touches with Rock Cartwright, mm-hmm. but it seems like Ganther was the guy that had the juice against the Saints last week, so I wouldn't be shocked to see him actually do a couple things of note. And the Raiders really aren't a completely bad matchup for opposing running backs. They're giving up the ninth most fantasy points per game over the last month to the running back position. So I think Ganther might be a guy. If you have a flex spot open, he might be one of the guys you go with. The Texans situation, it's also a mess, but it's a little bit easier to figure out. I tend to think that Ryan Motes as a whole is going to get more touches because he does more of the things that Steve Slayton does.
Mm-hmm.
He catches the football. He's the type of slasher, that type of running back. But Chris Brown might actually have more fantasy value because he's been almost exclusively getting the carries inside the 20 and especially inside the 10. So he's the guy who's going to steal the touchdowns. So if Ryan Motes does all the work, very possible, like last week, that Chris Brown comes in and takes the touchdowns. I actually was on the Sundays while watching the games, I used our Twitter account, twitter.com/fantasy_guru,
mm-hmm.
and I got a couple comments on there saying, why did you tell us to go with Motes over Brown? Brown just got the touchdown. But at that point, Motes had eight touches and Brown had just two.
Right.
So it's very clear what the Texans think. They think Brown is their power back, and if they get the ball inside the five, he looks like he's going to be the guy to get the football. So I think of those guys, Chris Brown might actually be the safest play because we know exactly what his role is. But it's still really a toss-up, especially if you're in a PPR league because Motes is going to catch the football, Cartwright's going to catch the football. So it's kind of a messy situation. But if I had to rank those guys in terms of who I would want to own and just everything else in a vacuum, I'd probably go Brown, Motes, Ganther, Cartwright.
Very
in that
interesting.
Order, but it's very close between the four of them.
And it's sort of that those classic arguments with running backs. It's not just, you know, who's getting most of the carries on a team. It's who's getting the key carries. And, you know, it's all about it's usually all about the touchdown. So you got to look at who's, you know, a guy who has only, you know, six or eight touches but scores twice can be more valuable than the guy who has 12 or 14, I guess. So, okay, the Cincinnati-Minnesota matchup this week seems to be one that's generating a lot of question marks for people who are emailing our show and in general, because I think Cincinnati over the last month has been a defense that has been the hot defense to pick up because of some of the matchups, Detroit and Oakland and Cleveland. Now they face a Minnesota team that's obviously explosive, but Minnesota coming off a performance where Adrian Peterson had 19 yards, Brett Favre threw two interceptions, which he hadn't done all year. What are you thinking about with this game? Is the Cincinnati defense a legit start against Minnesota, or will Minnesota's Adrian Peterson and Favre and all these guys come back to where they had been before last week's game?
I tell you what, Cincinnati's actually been one of the safer defenses to start in terms of fantasy,
mm-hmm.
but I really don't feel good about this matchup against Minnesota because while the Vikings had a bad week last week, I think they have the right kind of personnel to match up against this Cincy defense. The Cincy defense is a very matchup-oriented defense. They play as a unit. They play as a scheme. But that doesn't mean that they're infallible. They have depth issues at the cornerback position, which I think Brett Favre and that offense are really going to take advantage of with Percy Harvin. Cincinnati has two very good corners starting on the outside, But inside, they have a kind of a convoluted nickel situation where they slide up the safety, Chris Crocker, sometimes rotate in a couple of younger guys at the corner spot. It's really not very good. And Percy Harvin has been Brett Favre's guy in going down the seams all season. So for the touches that Sidney Rice might lose, I think a guy like Harvin or a guy like Shanko could pick up. The issue here is we don't really feel all that good about Adrian Peterson. He really has not been good at all the last couple weeks. We don't really know what's going on there. So I think this is a week. I think the Vikings really might decide that they're going to come out and throw the football. It's a pretty good matchup for their offense, given that Cincinnati has those depth issues. So if I have Cincinnati's defense, I'm probably going to take a seat right here with them. Don't feel too great about the matchup.
It's interesting because I was definitely on that Cincinnati defense bandwagon and figured, you know, three straight weeks with great matchups, and then you start to think, well, when they, once they play Minnesota, you'll probably get rid of them. But very interesting that you think very highly of them, especially against the Peterson with the Peterson matchup, which I think our listeners are going to be interested to know.
They do such a great job scheming. I think they can. They really are going to realize that Peterson doesn't seem to have that same explosion or that same burst, and I think they're going to be able to dedicate a little bit more resources to controlling Favre. And I don't think the Bengals have the type of strength in their front seven to bull rush that weak Minnesota offensive line like the Cardinals did. The Cardinals have a lot of individual superstar-level talent in that front seven, guys like Darnell Dockett especially. Clay Campbell played a very good game. I don't think the Bengals really have those type of players, so I think Favre's going to have a little bit more time to throw. I don't think the Bengals have the potential to force him into those Favian mistakes like we saw the Cardinals do to him. So I think Favre and this offense in general is going to have a better week.
Very interesting. Another game to watch for, New Orleans at Atlanta. I mean, New Orleans every week is a fantasy machine. Going against Atlanta where, you know, really these very key injury situations with Matt Ryan at quarterback and then Michael Turner at running back. Do we expect to see either of those guys? And if not, is a guy like Jason Snelling or Jarius Norwood, are they guys that could be options either in flex positions or even as a starting running back? I think we can safely assume that Chris Redmond is not much of a starting option, but what are you looking at so far from Matt Ryan and Michael Turner?
Well, you know what? There's really nothing. I mean, I don't have really any inside scoop. I know Matt Ryan said earlier this week that he plans to play, but the fact of the matter is we've now had 2 days of practice, and neither of those guys, Ryan or Turner, has practiced yet. And based off of that, we can't make any assumptions that either of them's going to play. You would think if either of them is healthy enough to at least give it a shot, that they're going to go, because this is an incredibly important game to the Falcons. If they lose this game, there's a good chance that they're just out of it. There's no chance at making the playoffs. All they can hope for is a wild card spot at this point. So you would think if one of their star players has the chance to go, he's going to go. But right now, you can't say that it's looking good. And while Jason Snelling fits that Michael Turner power offense a little bit more, you have to think, given how poor this Atlanta secondary is, the Saints are going to come out, they're going to score points, and Atlanta's going to be playing from behind, and that's going to be a lot more conducive to Jarius Norwood getting snaps, trying to get open in the flats, where the Saints really kind of struggle a little bit. So he might be a guy, if you're searching for a deep, deep, deep reach at your flex spot, hopefully not when you're in the playoffs, but he would be the guy I would trust a little bit more at this point. I really don't feel good at all about any Falcons outside of maybe Tony Gonzalez this week, just given all the uncertainty.
Very interesting. Now, you talk about Matt Ryan having missed 2 days of practice, and when you get to this point in the week and a guy's missed practice like that, hard to really project what he's going to be able to do, and you kind of have to think, might not play. Well, here in New England, we might be dealing with the same situation. Tom Brady missing two straight practices, and the news just coming down a little bit is that not only does he have a right shoulder injury, not only does he have a right finger injury, now they're saying rib injury as well, and he missed two straight practices. Where do things stand with the Patriots offense fantasy-wise? Obviously, can't really make final decisions on guys like Moss and obviously Welker and the running game until we really know if Brady's going to play, but this is very interesting. Three different injuries for Tom Brady right now.
You know what? It's really it's kind of interesting because you think the Patriots right now aren't really a very good fantasy team because if without Brady, you have no idea where to go with them in a sense because you're looking at a situation where probably unlikely this week, but next week you might have all four of those running backs healthy.
Yep.
And the Panthers are a team that really has trouble defending the run. but where are the touches going to go this week? So right now you're looking at a fantasy mess, especially if Brady can't go with all those injuries. Now, obviously you and I both probably expect Tom Brady to be able to play this week, but like you said, you just can't count on it at this point, and that's really going to hurt the value of Wes Welker and Randy Moss especially. Moss right now seems to be a one-trick fantasy pony. He needs to get the big play. And while he and Brady have been hooking up on them all season and they've been very successful at it, his value takes a huge hit without Brady throwing him the football.
Right.
Welker probably doesn't take as big a hit because he would be really the focus for a guy like Brian Hoyer stepping in there. But I'm telling you, Moss, his value just plummets without Brady in there, especially since the Panthers have two pretty solid corners on the outside in Chris Gamble and Richard Marshall. Once you get inside and get into their corner depth, it becomes a lot more shaky, and that's where I think Welker is going to have his success no matter who's playing quarterback. But right now, for fantasy purposes, I'm really hoping Brady's playing or this game's going to be really ugly.
Right, but it does beg the question, does it make any sense to pick up Brian Hoyer? I mean, the quarterback of the team throwing the ball to Randy Moss and Wes Welker, Brian Hoyer has virtually no experience in the NFL. Does it make any sense in fantasy leagues to pick him up just in case?
I think only if you're in a 16 team league and you own Brady, does it make sense?
Yeah.
Because really, there's some guys out there who can manage a game for you, not make a whole lot of mistakes, who are probably still out there on the waiver wire. Believe it or not, Vince Young is still out there on some waiver wires, and
yeah,
he's a guy who I'd almost certainly be starting at this point, given the way the Titans have used him and how well he's performed. Alex Smith out there. Even Ryan Fitzpatrick, while he doesn't excite me, he's got a good matchup this week. He's a guy who's out there. So I wouldn't count on picking up Brian Hoyer, especially for a playoff push, and I certainly wouldn't want a guy making his first career start for me when I'm either playing to get into the playoffs or playing a playoff game right now. So he's only a guy I'd pick up out of absolute desperation at this point,
yeah,
especially since the Panthers aren't really that good a matchup for an opposing quarterback. The reason we just think Brady can get it done with Moss and Welker is because it's Tom Brady.
Right.
So, royally, Hoyer, this would not be a week, even if Brady can't go, that I'd trust Brian Hoyer to be playing on my team.
So there you go. Don't go picking up Brian Hoyer. Don't worry about it too quickly. There's other guys out there. Joe, before we let you go, we get a bunch of emails. I'd just like to throw out a few who to start, who to sit types of questions,
sure,
that people are angling for. One of them we have here at running back, Jason Snelling or Beanie Wells. Obviously, Snelling is pending Michael Turner, but let's say Michael Turner can't go. Jason Snelling or Beanie Wells this week?
That's a tough one.
Going against a very strong rushing team this week with San Francisco.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the problem. Like I said with Snelling before, he's probably the guy who's going to get more of the carries if Turner's out because he fits the offense more. But if they fall behind, Snelling really doesn't do a whole lot for that offense,
sure,
unless they get a goal line carry to him or something. I think Beanie Wells' margin of error is very small because Tim Hightower, despite his fumbles, plays so well on third down because he's such an incredible blocker and a great receiver too. I would think Beanie Wells would be a little bit safer, just judging on the fact that I think Atlanta's going to fall behind really early.
Okay.
We saw what Philly did to him. New Orleans can do that to them too. But I would say, I think that's about as big a toss-up as it goes, but I'd probably go with Wells because I think he has a little bit more upside.
Okay. At wide receiver, Mike Sims-Walker against the Dolphins or Michael Crabtree against the Cardinals?
Putting
on the spot. We love this.
That's a really tough one, too. Sims-Walker's really kind of fallen by the wayside,
yep,
recently. And here's the issue that I have with Sims-Walker right now. Houston didn't even put their top corner on Sims-Walker. Dante Robinson was out actually on Torrey Holt most of the game. They handled Sims-Walker with Jacques Reeves, who's been their number three corner for most of the season. That's actually pretty troubling for Sims-Walker. Crabtree, I think this is a game where the 49ers are going to have to throw the ball a lot, but when push comes to shove, he becomes a guy who's their second target to Vernon Davis. So I think Sims-Walker, despite the rough couple weeks, despite the matchup against Vontae Davis, who's going to be a superstar, mm-hmm, by the way, he's going to be a really good corner.
Yep.
I think Sims-Walker is probably the safer play, but it wouldn't shock me if Crabtree outplayed him.
Okay, and one more, and this one really is an interesting one. Donovan McNabb or Brett Favre? And we've talked about Favre a little bit today, but McNabb also going against the Giants, a division battle. Where do you stand on those two?
Okay. You know, McNabb on the road at Giant Stadium. The Eagles got it done a couple times at Giant Stadium last year without McNabb really lighting up the scoreboard. They did it with defense. They did it with the running game, believe it or not. I just think Brett Favre, you know, I don't think he's going to be pressured as much as he was last week. It was really the first time he's really made the mistakes that we have come to see from Brett Favre over the course of his career. I don't think the Bengals have the ability to force him into those type of mistakes. I think this offense in general is still clicking really well. I think Favre is the safer play. But McNabb, for what it's worth, has been playing really well recently. I just think Favre is probably safer this week.
It's what it's all about in fantasy football, the who to start, the who to sit, and we appreciate you being able to be put on the spot right there. You handled it great, as I'm sure you always do, Joe. Joe, as always, thank you very much for spending a few minutes with us here in the Fantasy Lowdown. Always appreciate your insight and your passion for this stuff. And good luck to you with your teams going down the stretch here in the playoffs. And I know everyone can go to fantasyguru.com to get some of the insight that they need for their playoff push.
Absolutely, you know, and if you sign up right now, you get all of next year free. So that's probably the way to go.
But it's Brian, a heck of a deal.
Good luck with your teams as well, and certainly happy holidays to everyone out there and everyone who's listening.
To you as well. Thank you very much. Joe Dolan, fantasyguru.com, joining us once again here on the Fantasy Lowdown, web radio at patriots.com. Great insight from him. And, hey, I'll tell you what, I sometimes have the advantage when we get emails for the Fantasy Lowdown. You know, I can take a few minutes before the show, peruse the emails, see the questions, and kind of develop my thoughts in my head. I'm not the brightest guy in the world. Never am. I would never be confused for that, but that's why I need some time to check these out. But we threw some of these questions out there to Joe, and he handled them great. As we hit the home stretch here, we've got about 10 more minutes and still time to hear from you, but we've got a bunch of emails still to get to. Want to get back to the email that we were talking about before Joe came on from Chris, who we had on the show recently. He's got a wild scenario for the playoffs, and he's still alive. And he gave me all of the nonsense. I just don't want to bore everybody with the specifics on exactly what it's going to take for him to get in the playoffs and all that. But his team is Foxborough Spartacus, very interesting. In round one of the playoffs, he's facing Kibbles and Vic, a phenomenal name for a team. He is projected to win, Kibbles and Vic. Chris was lucky enough to have Jason Campbell and his 37 points last week. So his two questions, both of which we've sort of gotten to. For the third straight week, Jason Snelling is projected for over 10-plus fantasy points. He's yet to get 10. I'm sticking with Knowshon Moreno, who got me 18, but what do I do about Wells? He only got 2 last week. So we did pose this question to Joe Dolan. And he thinks Wells is going to be a good option for this week.
And the coughing fit returns.
Joe is my only hope. When Joe is on, he's my...
When Joe is on, you were fine. As soon as we hang up the phone and you have to come back on the air, and John Rook just sits there shaking his head.
Well, I could actually hit the cough button when I had to cough while he was on. You know, So there you go. It's a jumbled mess here. I don't know what to tell
you. I don't think we're ever going to invite John back into the studio when you're doing the show. I think it's bad for business.
Forget about during my show. I don't know if John's ever going to come back to the studio again.
I you're coughing all over his microphone.
That's a good point. That's not good. I'll clean it up. Okay, and then we got to Chris's other question about Robert Meacham or Percy Harvin, and I think consensus is go with Percy Harvin. next email. Last week, I think I confused Todd in Jackson, Wyoming with another Todd. But Todd, the real Todd in Jackson, Wyoming, chimes in here. Below, the arrogant bastards won the regular season and have week 14 playoffs. 6 teams in a 12-team league and made a few moves for the possible 2 playoff games coming up. Really able to set himself up well here. Added Seattle's defense, hosting Tampa Bay in week 15. Dwayne Bowe, who'll be eligible to play starting week 15, Josh Morgan, and Devon Bess, because my wide receivers were passable to moderate. The roster now is quarterback Tony Romo and Vince Young. Wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald, Dwayne Bowe, Josh Morgan, Kenny Britton, Devon Bess. Tight ends Vernon Davis and Jermichael Finley. Running backs Chris Johnson, Rashard Mendenhall, and Joseph Addai. Kicker Ryan Longwell. And defense Seattle against Tampa in week 15, San Fran and Detroit against Detroit in week 16.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
See, he wrote that on here, Jason, but I figured you'd probably drop that in, so we'd be safe.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
I think my team is solid to win it, hopefully for 2 weeks starting in week 15. Any thoughts? The league I play in, quarterback, two wideouts, two running backs, tight end, wide receiver, tight end, and kicker and defense. I think your team is in great shape. I know that you are skeptical, Todd, of Romo in December, but you know he's still putting up decent numbers, throwing the ball a ton. Now, the problem with Vince Young, as we're finding out now, at practice on Thursday, Young aggravated a knee injury that he suffered against the Colts and left practice early. He was seen limping after throwing a pass to Lavelle Hawkins. He then fell to the turf. Jeff Fisher said, we expect he'll be able to play, but he did not finish practice. So there's definitely some concern there, which, you know, I guess it begs the question, could Kerry Collins be back in? I don't think Kerry Collins is a worthwhile fantasy option this week or going forward, but Todd, you might want to have a little bit worry there about your backup quarterback. But I love what you're doing with the defense there. Seattle in Week 15 against Tampa, San Fran against Detroit. Those should be great matchup plays. And then running back, love Chris Johnson, Rashard Mendenhall, two young players should be fine. And Joseph Addai to back them up. And, you know, Dwayne Bowe, I don't think Dwayne Bowe is going to really be a huge factor for you. I really don't. But Kenny Britt is very intriguing. Now, if there's a quarterback issue there with Tennessee, that's a problem. I like Devon Bess a lot. Love what you got going on there with tight end. Vernon Davis was a touchdown machine. And I've talked about what I feel about Jermichael Finley, an emerging threat there. So, Todd, like the way you're set up there for some postseason success. Okay. Harry in Las Vegas. Hi, B-Lo. Last week of my season and a critical one. Wanted to thank you again for all your help during my first fantasy season. Right now I'm in the wild card slot by half a game, but facing the best team in my league, while the next team is a half game back and facing a 3-8 opponent. So I've got my lineup set except for wide receiver and possibly defense. Would you go with a slightly banged up Mike Sims-Walker versus Dolphins or Michael Crabtree versus the Cardinals as a third receiver behind Reggie Wayne and Miles Austin? We posed that question to Joe Dolan. He liked Mike Sims-Walker better there as a better play rather than the rookie Michael Crabtree. Right now I'm using the Saints D, but they seem to always give up a lot of points. Available off waivers, the Bengals against the Vikings, Packers against the Bears, Cardinals against the Niners, and the Redskins against the Raiders, among others. Should I stick with the Saints or drop them and pick up one of those others for Week 14? If I do drop them and make the playoffs, should I try to pick them up again or stick with my new acquisition? Thanks again, Harry from Las Vegas. Well, let's look at this closely. New Orleans at Atlanta this week is not a terrible play because of the injuries Atlanta has. And here's the thing. You are not going to want to drop New Orleans because in Week 16, New Orleans plays Tampa. And I don't know about you, but that's an appealing matchup to me. So if you drop New Orleans, you are liable to see another team pick up New Orleans because of that matchup. So I think New Orleans this week is not a terrible play. They host Dallas, which not a good one, but and they've given up a lot of points to decent offenses. But here's the thing. Pick up Washington for this week if you can do it without getting rid of New Orleans. This is a big week for you, obviously. If you pick up Washington against the Raiders, you'll be set for this week, or you could even pick up Redskins now and then decide Saturday night or Sunday if you want to go Redskins at the Raiders or New Orleans at Atlanta pending the Matt Ryan-Michael Turner situation, and then you would still have New Orleans available for Week 16. Now, the problem there is you might have a hole to fill in Week 15 because Washington plays the Giants, New Orleans plays Dallas. Neither one are appealing options, but, hey, you can't win them all. I would go with Washington for this week and keep New Orleans. Now, Cincinnati against the Vikings, as we heard from Joe, is a decent pick as well. So there's some thoughts there, Harry. Thank you for the email. Below here are my sit-start questions for this week. This is from Todd. First team, pick one wide receiver as my third wideout. This is not a point-per-reception league. Must win to get in the playoffs. So the options here are Steve Breston against San Fran, Kenny Britt against St. Louis, Brian Hartline against Jacksonville. Starting running backs are Thomas Jones and Frank Gore, and other starting wide receivers are Roddy White and Andre Johnson. Breston, Britt, and Hartline. I like Britt. He's the hot hand going against a very weak defense. St. Louis, you know, defense is ranked 25th overall. O.J. Atogwe, one of their better defensive players, going on injured reserve. And to me, with Kenny Britt, yeah, he's shining a lot more because of Vince Young, but I think he's good enough. And he's been one of their top guys, and against St. Louis is probably good regardless of who's playing quarterback there. Don't really like Brian Hartline this week. I like, in fact, I think the Miami offense is going to take a big step downward this week from what they did against the Patriots. And Breston against San Fran, you know, he's a good third wideout for his team, but it's still, you know, it's the Anquan Boldin, Larry Fitzgerald show. Second team, this is a playoff game. Need one running back and one flex from the following players. Frank Gore, and Todd says his confidence in him is shaken because of recent performances against Arizona. Ryan Grant against Chicago. Jerry Norwood against New Orleans. Nate Burleson against Houston. Jericho Cotchery against Tampa. Chris Chambers against Buffalo. For the one running back, I'd probably go with Gore slightly over Grant. Gore is still, you know, one of the better fantasy options in general. Greg Rosenthal this week has him ranked 7th, so still pretty high. I'd probably go there. Then, you know, your flex position, you know, I'll tell you what, I don't like Chris Chambers this week against Buffalo, and I see him as going on a bit of a downward slide after his hot start with Kansas City just because Matt Castle not doing well, Brody Croyle not doing well either. Jericho Cotchery, yeah, decent matchup against Tampa Bay, but don't really like him either. I mean, I he's a reasonable pick, but not huge on him this week. Same with, you know, Nate Burleson doesn't really excite me much right now. I'd probably go Ryan Grant. I'd probably go Ryan Grant there. You know, he's still he's the 14th ranked running back. He's probably your best bet for scoring touchdowns this week among those five or six options there, Todd. So that's where I'd go. That's the direction I'd go there, Frank Gore and Ryan Grant. Joshua in California. Hey, Brian. With the playoffs starting, I need your help now more than ever. That's what we're here for. First, I recently picked up Lawrence Maroney. Should I keep him or go for someone else? My top options are Cadillac Williams, Jason Snelling, Tashard Choice, Ryan Motes, and Chris Brown. You know, I don't know if I'd get rid of Lawrence Maroney, but I'll tell you what. Lawrence Maroney is probably going to be sliding a bit over these next few weeks with the emergence of Sammy Morris, Fred Taylor probably coming back. You know, he's struggled at times. It's been an on and off year. I wouldn't give up on him, but I'll tell you, you know, you've got some tough decisions there. I'd look in the Houston direction, Ryan Motes and Chris Brown. Hard to say, as we were talking about with Joe Dolan, as far as who's getting the carries, who's getting the key carries in the end zone. He likes Ryan Motes better. I'd probably go Ryan Motes among all of those. Cadillac Williams is intriguing. But you can't really like that Tampa Bay offense overall. Tashard Choice on any given week, you know, could be the choice. So I'd probably say keep Lawrence Maroney if you can. If you can cut someone else and pick up Ryan Motes, I'd say he's probably the best bet among the others there. Second, I need help at defense. I currently have the Patriots. Oh, oof. Yeah, you need help. Should I keep them or go for these three choices? Colts, Cardinals, Chargers, Texans, or Falcons? Without looking at all the stats and all the schedules, I think the San Diego defense is your best bet overall among those. The 12th ranked defense overall, and down the stretch here, the Chargers play Dallas, Cincinnati, Tennessee, and Washington. So some good, not great offenses, and, you know, I'll tell you what, they'd be tough to play in that Tennessee game because of Chris Johnson, so I'm not sure about that one there. But, you know, Atlanta's defense, not very good. Houston's defense, would not want to rely on them. Arizona, you know, decent run defense, but not a good pass defense. And, you know, Indianapolis is certainly intriguing for a number of reasons. They're an improving defense. They've got Denver, Jacksonville, and the Jets coming up the next 3 weeks. Not great offenses. Hard to say if I'd want to rely on them. You know, with the Patriots, I mean, matchup-wise, you know, Carolina this week, you know, the pass defense really should improve, but we thought that last week against Miami. You know, the run defense is probably going to struggle. I'll tell you, not too many appealing options there, but I'd probably go San Diego as just the best defense among all of those. Thank you very much to you, Joshua, and everybody who emailed us in. It was a heavy email day. Not a great day for my throat here, obviously. And making fun of me is obviously fair game on that. It was a tough one. But our thanks to Joe Dolan for joining us here on the Fantasy Lowdown. We'll be coming back next Thursday, 4 to 5 Eastern time, here on Patriots.com Radio. We'll talk to you then.
Stop the run. Stop the run. Stop the run. Can't stop the run. You can't stop the run.